Bringing you real voices, real issues, and real solutions. You are listening to The Smart Hour online, your global connection to uncensored, thought-provoking interviews and great conversation about what faces our world today. This is not mainstream media. This is The Smart Hour. Here you go. Your host, Tanisha Smart.
Hello, hello, hello. It is your girl, Tanisha Smart, on the Smart Hour. Thanks, everybody, for joining me tonight. I am so excited about our guest tonight. We are continuing the month of August with The Heart, or listening to The Heart of Kings, which you know is my absolute favorite. I love the Kings. This king is special to me. This is my brother. So his name is Michael Harris. He's a king with a passion for purpose and destiny. He was born in Newark and reared in East Orange. He and his lovely wife are currently residents of Franklin Township. After graduating in 1989, he continued his education at Allegheny County College in Pittsburgh, PA, majoring in family and child development. He's currently continuing his education enrolled as a full-time student at DeVry University in North Brunswick, and that's in North Brunswick, New Jersey. He's majoring in business administration and project management. Upon completion of his undergraduate studies in this year, 2016, Michael intends to pursue a master's in strategic communications and leadership at Seton Hall University. Currently a vice president and retail market manager of Investors Bank, in which he oversees 6 branches in the central New Jersey market. He began his banking career in 1996 and has enjoyed successful careers with Mellon Bank, JP Morgan Chase, Citibank, and PNC. A favorite quote of Michael's is from Gandhi, which says, "The greatest way to find yourself is to lose yourself, in the service to others." So please help me welcome this powerhouse, Michael Harris. Hi. Can you hear
me
okay?
Hello, good evening. And how are you?
Oh, my goodness. I finally have you on the show. Like, I started to think, who has sinned, this woman or her parents, that we can't get this man on the show? What's going on, Mike?
Hey, let me throw out a disclaimer to you and the audience who's listening. I have my one-year-old son, Michael Jr. We call him MJ. He's laying on my chest right now because he just has this thing that if he's not laying on me, he can't sleep, so he's napping. So in case you hear anything in the background, when this joker wakes up, I'm not at the daycare. I am home in my office, but he's on my chest. He's a daddy's boy.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Hi, MJ. That's cool.
Don't say hi.
MJ is totally welcome. MJ Jay is welcome on the Smart Hour, and thanks for that. I mean, we totally believe in keeping it real here. So if I fumble somewhere, like on the air, I just take the fumble and let everybody hear it. That's just how real it is here. So I'm going to dive right in because I really just want to drain everything that I can get out of your head and out of your belly while I have you here. I have purposely shortened the bio because, you know, we have a world changer here, and 45 minutes of the show would have been about his bio. So, but seriously, I want to hear your passion behind some of the details in your bio. So I didn't mention them on purpose just yet so that we could talk about that. So tonight we are here to talk about purpose and destiny. This is so important. I know that you're a purpose and destiny king, a purpose and destiny man, so much so, as I mentioned, when I was blasting that you would be on the show and in social media, I had to let everybody know that you named your daughter Destiny. That's just how powerful and how important this is to you. So for our listeners, before we even begin, and just to build a foundation here, what is your definition of purpose? And then I'm going to follow up with what your definition of destiny is as well, just in case some people don't really know the difference between the two.
I certainly would love to share that. And again, before I do, it's an honor to be on this show with you, and it's an honor to be sharing anything that I have with anybody that's listening. So that's a good question when it comes to purpose and destiny, because they are so interwoven in my life and such an intricate part of everything that I've done, that I am, and that I will do. These definitions that I'm giving you won't necessarily be found in the dictionary. You won't be able to go to Webster's and look these up, but these are definitions that have come out of my own experience, my own life, my own spirit, if you will. So in the scripture in Jeremiah, I believe 1:5, it has an interesting passage. It says that before I formed you in the belly, your mother's womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I had already set you apart or sanctified you, a messenger for the nation. And so I like to, when I define purpose, I like to say that purpose is something that God defines, but we discover. And when we speak of purpose, it speaks of our reason, you know. So before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and I already, before you came out of your mother's womb, God had already defined us. He had already spoken to existence, to me and every caller listening, what we would be, what the pattern is for our life, what he created us to be in our own individual uniqueness. Our part in purpose is we then discover it. And so those two working hand in hand to me are purpose. It's our reason. It's our being. And I like to say that often, that more often than not, our purpose to someone listening that says, well, still, I'm not sure what God has defined. Well, it's not deep. You know, our purpose is often found in the very same pool that our gifts are found in, that our talents are found in, that our passions are found in. So any one of those three things, our gifts, our talents, our passions, very often, because God gave them to us, is the same pool of our purpose. And what we have to do, what our part is taking a moment to discover exactly what it is out of those things. If I'm a painter, if my gift is music, if my gift is to talk, if my talent, whatever it is, I challenge all of the callers that everyone has something specific that God has given them as a reason for being here. You know, this is your reason for living, and that's your purpose. And I want to make this just a little, because I'm a teacher at heart, a little bit bigger, if you will, for those callers out there that are listening and for you, Sis. There's a psychologist, and I love him, by the name of Abraham Maslow. And back in 1943, I believe, if I'm remembering my psychology class correctly, he had this hierarchy, what he called the hierarchy of needs. And so it's a pyramid that he felt that every human being fell at some point in time on this pyramid. And if you can imagine a pyramid where the point is at the top and then it starts at the bottom, it's three-sided. And within that hierarchy of needs, At the bottom, one of the most basic needs is our physiological needs, and it speaks to, you know, our job and our, you know, having food, having clothing, having adequate shelter. And then it goes up the ladder. The next need is safety. You know, all of us have a need to feel safe and secure. Then it continues up the ladder. We all have a need for love, to feel love and belonging. Then it continues up the ladder. We all have a need for esteem, and in other words, for us to feel special about ourselves. And then last, which is the big thing, at the top of the pyramid is self-actualization, which is another word for purpose. But what's interesting is that if all of those other things that I named aren't solid in our lives, then it's really hard for us to discover our purpose, even though God has defined it for us. So for those that are listening that still might be confused with this thing called purpose, God has done his part, but if there's a lack in our esteem and our feeling of love and belonging, our feeling safe, or our physiological needs, it's real hard to discover our purpose because all of those things are kind of clouding it.
Wow, that's a lot. Oh, my goodness, that's a lot. And I'm as you're talking, I'm taking notes because I know that this is just going to be so loaded. And
I'll be back next month or next week.
Oh, my goodness. So thanks for dropping that knowledge on the pyramid. That is, man, that's amazing. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I'm definitely going to revisit this because I have some questions about, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I do want you to be able to expound on what destiny actually means and what you have discovered in your walk and in walking with God and just in your life, period. But I know I want to come back to this because you spoke profoundly when you said that we have to have those other things securely in place in order to find our purpose. So that means we have to have the right people around us, the right relationships. That's just really, really huge. Yeah. And there's so many, you know, avenues that we can go down with that. So I'm definitely going to come back to this pyramid and what you just shared. So when you talk about destiny, what is the definition that you have for destiny or that you've discovered?
Sure, I've had this destiny that, again, and I don't want to over-spiritualize anything because for those callers that are listening, this is not just a spiritual topic, if you believe. Purpose and destiny actually apply to every area of our lives. Of course, spiritual speaking, because we're all spiritual beings, whether we acknowledge it or not. But this is a grassroots topic that you can apply on your job, you can apply it in your relationship anywhere. But I've been carrying this destiny for years, and it is what I call a Doc Harrisism, you know, because my friends call me Doc. Destiny is the fulfillment of purpose in a specific season of your life. Destiny is simple. Destiny, again, is the fulfillment of purpose in a particular season of your life. So when you talk about destiny and when we talk about purpose, we can have several purposes. It doesn't just have to be one thing. Your life can be full of purpose because you can have several gifts and several reasons, if you will, that God has created you for, several reasons that you've also discovered, like you and I have, sis. We've discovered several purposes that we feel like we have, that God has us on this earth for. Destiny is the fulfillment of any of those purposes in a specific season of your life. And the reason why I love destiny, because it constantly renews itself. It's not just like we've been taught, you buy the house, that's destiny. No, that's a destiny, you know. So destiny is it continually fulfills itself because purpose continues to evolve in our life. So if purpose is continually revolving, if we're constantly discovering purpose, destiny then has to stand up and speak for it and validate it. So destiny validates purpose. So it's the fulfillment of purpose. So from the moment that I discovered that God would have me speak to people, to empower people, to equip them and encourage them in their quest to fulfill purpose and destiny, that destiny was fulfilled for me from the time that whatever that launch was. And even with this call, I can say this call is a fulfillment of destiny because I knew at some point in time just like you, that you would be speaking to people about your passion.
Mm-hmm.
So destiny is the fulfillment of whatever purposes or whatever reason God has given us that we've discovered. Destiny validates that.
Okay, so then destiny, and thanks for just shedding light and bringing clarity to the two, and even the difference between the two, because I could say early on in my walk with God, I didn't know what the difference was between the two. I thought they were the same. Mm-hmm. I can see now that I've matured and have had to go through some things. Things are starting to get even more clear, but because I'm still mm-hmm. a student, and I don't mind remaining a student, I'm still learning. And so for you to just break it down and say that destiny really is not a destination per se. It continues on, and we could hit points.
Yeah.
At least that's what I'm understanding that you're saying. We could hit points in our lives that say, okay, you fulfilled this portion of your purpose.
Exactly.
And destiny says, okay, this is what you were supposed to do at this time. Keep it moving. And That's powerful. That's very powerful, and thanks for sharing that. So when I look at, and just to go back a little bit to your bio and some of the things in that, and to you mentioned that, well, let me just say this. Looking at one of your favorite quotes that I mentioned earlier, when you talk about Gandhi and the greatest way to find yourself is to lose yourself in service to others, do you believe that our purpose here, whatever we're doing ultimately, is to serve others in some way? Or do you believe that purpose is too broad to just say, okay, this is ultimately, regardless of what your purpose is, if it's singing, dancing, for me, modeling, mm-hmm. speaking, writing, whatever it is, do you believe that our purpose is ultimately to serve others in some way? Or do you believe
Absolutely.
That it? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and when we go back to the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, one of the things on there is love and belonging. Well, you know, regardless of our race, our creeds, our colors, we're on planet Earth, and it's full of people. So that
mm-hmm.
I can. This is a way, if I'm helping somebody, to even discover your purpose. Your purpose is going to always be attached to someone else, another person. And whether you play
wow.
basketball, whether you paint, whatever, if you're a painter and nobody looks at your art, then what good is it? If you're a basketball player and you don't play in front of an audience and they benefit from your talent, what good is it? Everything we do, I believe this with my whole heart, everything God has placed in us has something to do with someone else. In other words, it's not just for me. You'll never find purpose in an area, in a room all by yourself. And if you define purpose mm-hmm. as me sitting in a room all by myself where nobody can see me, reach me, or talk to me, then I would say my friend or my brother or my sister who's listening, that look again, because purpose opens the
mm-hmm.
door for people to come in and see, because it's only them seeing your purpose and that destiny then comes along and validates what it is that they're looking at. Michael Jordan, one of the most talented basketball players that we know, wouldn't be Michael Jordan if nobody saw him play. And then we define
right.
him. You know, he discovered the talent, but then his, you know, destiny comes along and validates it by him playing basketball, winning championships. And now his
yeah.
legacy is the greatest basketball player of all time. That might have been a private discovery, but it became public. Because other people are always attached to our purpose. Always.
Yes. That is amazing, and that is so true. I have to say that I definitely believe that God made it that way so that we would need each other. One of the things,
yeah.
and my listeners know just from those that have been with me from the beginning, that the purpose of this show is really to get beyond what's going on in the world, just everything that is programmed into media and all of those things, and not to say that we shouldn't be concerned with what's going on, because of course
mm-hmm.
we want to be aware, but you just can't eat that all day. And so when it
mm-hmm.
comes to this show and even what you talked about us needing each other, one of the passions that I have is really to promote love. When we look at what's going on today, you know, like on CNN or whatever, we know that they're going to show what you know, brings in ratings and what makes them money, and drama makes them money. Sadness, pain, mm-hmm. all that stuff makes them money. Hatred, you know, discord, all of that makes money, and it's good stuff for people to watch, you know, to them. But when it comes to promoting love and all of mm-hmm. that tying into our purpose and our destiny, we need each other. And so I believe God yeah. has it that way so that we will be interacting. As far as me being a model, I can't, nobody can see my work if I don't have a photographer or some designer
exactly.
to dress me.
Exactly.
And it's the same thing, you know, with the designer. He needs a model to wear his clothes, and a photographer needs something to take pictures of, even if it's something in scenery. There is some way that this photographer or whoever needs someone else. And so I think when we get to the core of why we were created and the way that God fashioned us, even in our relationships, then we can get beyond mainstream media and all the stuff that's going on and really get back to, okay, I need you, you need me, we need each other.
Exactly.
And then in that, that goes into the pyramid that you were speaking of and us being around the people that will help us to feel loved and validated and safe and all of these things. So, I mean, I think that's awesome. I think, you know, that you, the way you broke that down, and I definitely believe that the Lord has us that way so that we can, you know, has our purpose tied into other people so that we can't just do it alone and we won't walk around, you know, as if we don't need anybody. So when it comes to that, I want to stay right there for a moment and go back to the pyramid with the love and belonging and the esteem and the self-actualization. You mentioned that these things have to be solidified, basically, or be in place. Talk to me, please, or talk to us about the importance of having the right relationships around you to fulfill your purpose and your destiny, and also having balance in those relationships. Now, because I don't want to, you know, dump a lot, I know I can, I love to talk. I do have the gift of gab. But we're
used to me.
you're used to me, so you know I can ask like four questions at one time. But when it comes to the relationships though, and the importance of people that are around us, and then even when it comes to you know, having those relationships that will help us feel secure and things like that. How important is it to have the right people? And secondly, how important is it to have the right balance? Because sometimes we could come in with God, 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 and spirit, 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 and not have enough of, you know, the human part of us in a relationship. So that's a two-part question. If you could jump in and tear that up for me and for our listeners, I'd appreciate it.
I would say this, that, and again, not to scare anybody, because that triangle that we talked about in the hierarchy of need, self-actualization, even though it's at the top of it, you can still understand and know your purpose and at any given time of your life suffer from low self-esteem or suffer from not feeling loved or feeling a sense of belonging, not feeling safe. Those are all areas, not having enough food or adequate employment. Those are all things in that hierarchy that we'll all experience that every stage of our life. However, you know, the self-actualization part comes in with once I know, I know. You know, once I know my purpose, I know my purpose. I know my reason. And so it causes me to look at the other areas of my life a lot differently. And in terms of people being around me, if God is already defining or has already defined my purpose, and the onus is on us, as we live, as we navigate through these needs and through these different phases at any stage in our lives, and we have to discover it. Of course, you know, if you're not in good relationships, I like to say it like this, that discovering your purpose is hard to do in a pool of relationships that aren't supportive or aren't conducive to you doing so. So you said it earlier, we need to make a deliberate effort of placing people in our lives, regardless of where we are on this triangle. There are some listening that are certainly not adequately employed, not the way that you want. You aren't making the money that you want. You know that there's something else you want to do. Well, that person that's listening, that's going through that, or that's in a relationship that's not satisfying, or has been in a relationship, bad relationship, the onus then becomes on us in our discovery process to make sure we're attaching ourselves to people and things that will feed our purpose, that will feed and encourage and ignite our passion to discover even more. Anywhere along that triangle you're attached to something that's pulling you away, that's what I meant earlier when I said it's going to be pretty hard for you to discover my reason. Why am I here? Why am I working this job? Why am I going through this in life? Mm-hmm. Why have I experienced this? It's going to be hard to do that if we're not making a deliberate and conscious effort to attach ourselves to things, to people, to places, to radio shows that speak directly to us, that encourage us in the discovery process. And even what I'm finding out is, even though I feel I know my purpose, I never close myself out to the point where I just know and I'm good. I'm always open to knowing more, to discovering more, because what I know today, after going through something, may change tomorrow, because our experiences don't change our purpose, but it certainly changed the perspective of our purpose. And I may have thought that my purpose is just talking to this group, but after going through a broken relationship, or after being divorced a few times, or after losing a few jobs, or after going through and fighting depression and fighting my own private struggles, I've discovered now that my purpose is bigger than this audience. My purpose is that audience as well. So for everybody that's listening, as we continue to evolve up this pyramid, and as we face different things in our lives, we're constantly defining and discovering, but the onus is on us to bring people in our lives. I call them destiny killers, to kick them out, and the big lies to our destiny, to invite them in. Kick out the destiny killers. Kick out the people, the things, the situations in your life that are pulling you away. And everybody that's listening, including us on this phone, we know when something is a destiny killer. How do we know?
Yeah.
Because when you walk away from it, when you hang up with it, when you close the car door, whatever it is, whatever it is, you feel horrible. You feel terrible. You don't feel empowered. But when it's something that's speaking life to your destiny, like when you and I talk to us and we encourage each other, we hang up the phone, we feel good, we feel positive, we feel that there's something else, we feel that, hey, I can carry on. And that's how we know that this person belongs in my circle. And for all of those who are listening, because I know that there are people listening who our biggest issue is really vetting our own lives and cleaning out our own lives and really filtering out who exactly in my life is speaking life to my destiny and who is killing it.
Yes.
And that's a hard thing, because that has no name on it. That has no title on it. That could be anybody. And it doesn't mean clean your life out and kick everybody out your life that you don't think is positive. That's not what I'm saying. Because then you'd definitely be living in a box with the windows down and the shades drawn. But it does mean that those people that we allow in our circle on a regular basis, that we ought to know, that we know, that we know, that they belong there.
Oh, that's good. That is so good. And I have to pull from that, too. So, you know, but, oh, man, that's good. That's really good. And it's so true that there are people that we do feel drained. That when it comes to the purpose thing, and it's something that you even talked about, you know, when you leave a person, or, you know, when you leave that person, or have had a session, if you will, with that person, there is nothing uplifting. I personally believe that we have to be in tune enough with ourselves to know when a person is truly what we would call a distraction. When it comes to a distraction, because there, like you did mention, you mentioned relationships and even things. We could look at so many things, even like social media. Every time you swipe with your thumb, you know, it's taken away from the time that you could be spending towards purpose, or that we, I'll say we, that we could be spending towards purpose or discovering that purpose or digging into it to see, you know, to make our lives more meaningful. And so when it comes to these conversations, what we really want to do is sober people up so that people are aware of this is what's really going on. These people are who, you know, are really in your life on assignment, if you will, and they may not even know it. But because God created us all, and we could try to, you know, I don't want to say dumb it down, but we of course don't want to look at purpose and destiny as if it's only spiritual, but we certainly can't omit that truth. So when it comes to purpose and destiny and just knowing that we were created for a reason, obviously there are going to be some things to try to distract us from being who we were ultimately supposed to be. We can look at some people and see there is more in you. And that's a part of my passion, to call forth kings and to speak into authentic beauty that's in women. And when it comes to children, to really build them up, to ultimately help us get back to the core of who we are before the world told us who we weren't or who we couldn't be or who we needed to be. And so when it comes to purpose and the relationships, I'm glad you broke that down as far as how important it is to really strategically place people where they're supposed to be in our lives. And sometimes in one season, this is just something I've found, in one season a person can have a particular purpose or a place or, you know, in your life, and then in another season they don't, you know, and it may not mean that you're supposed to move them out. They just have to be repositioned. And so we have to be in tune enough with ourselves to be able to do that, and truthful enough to say, okay, it's time for me to let you go from here. We'll put you over here. And it's the same thing. I mean, Jesus had to do it when it came to Judas. He Judas was needed for Jesus to get to ultimately what he was supposed to do. And so when we talk about, but let's dive into the, if you will, the second part of that question, where we want to talk about the balance involved. Because I will say this, I know that there are people listening, you know, to this show from different walks of life. I mean, I see, you know, when you guys chime in, and I go back and see when you listen in. And so I know, and then, you know, as time goes on, we don't know who will be listening to this and who God will lead to this so that they can get what they need. But when it comes to balance, and I'm speaking of balance between the spiritual and the natural, sometimes I'm finding when it comes to the spiritual side of it, and this is not to bash believers, because you have to be a rebel and you have to be strong to be a believer. I know people talk about the church and talk about, you know, Christians and all that stuff, but you have to really be dedicated if you're going to do this thing and really do it right. But we have to have balance when it comes to our relationships. Sometimes we can't over spiritualize a thing. Say if a person is dating, or if a person is in the secular arena, like we see, for instance, Michelle Williams, you know, just to give an example of Destiny's Child. We know that Michelle is a woman of God, but her purpose and her place was in a secular band. So when it comes to balance, what do you think is key as far as our mindsets to go into relationships, business relationships, or whatever it is, having the right balance, knowing that you don't have to go in Bible thumping, but at the same time being true to yourself? Am I asking that clearly, or am I making sense of that question? Okay.
You're making a lot of sense. You know, one of my greatest pet peeves, not only about myself, but about the lack of diversity. I mean, I'm passionate about diversity, not just in sense of racial diversity, but a diversity in a sense of exposure, because lack of exposure limits us to knowledge, and a lack of knowledge will have you ignorant, and ignorance means that you don't know something. But the epitome of ignorance is thinking you know something and you really don't know what you think you know. And so balance is vitally important. And balance in exposure, it feeds every area of our lives. It feeds into our jobs that we're working. And it feeds into a deliberate action to make sure that my life is full of more than the things that make me comfortable. And the rut that we all get stuck in sometimes, even in our path of discovery, even as religious or spiritual people, is that some church folk only surround themselves, think they need to surround themselves with church people. Some Muslims only feel that they need to surround themselves with other good Muslims. And we can go down the line. So if all we associate with are things that look like us, sound like us, talk like us, wherein lies the balance? And the balance speaks to my life having been on a plane where I can really talk about anything, I can go anywhere, I can meet a level of people, and I can feel comfortable there. And that's a deliberate action to find and seek balance. And how that translates to our listeners, you might say, well, what do you mean balance? Well, look at your daily routine. And I do this to myself all the time. Look at your daily routine, and I dare you to just, for my callers, get a piece of paper and write down everything that you do and everything that you're involved in on a daily basis. And if you do that, what you'll and not only that, but who do you talk to on a regular basis? And I'm not talking about on the job if you're working customer service, you just happen to have, but who do you really talk to? And so for most of us, when we go down that list of who we're talking to on a regular basis, what we do, what we listen to, what we what influences our thinking, we find that our lives, we really live our lives in a small box. We listen to the same music all the time because we like church music. I love Fred, so all I listen to is God, because that stuff just, it just blesses my soul. I can't listen to nothing else that don't bless my soul, you know, that all that worldly stuff. So then if you can't listen to anything else other than things that bless your soul, what happens when you need, when your purpose leads you into an area with somebody that isn't exposed to what you've been listening to? Then we run into our shelves because not only can I not talk about it, I don't have to be an expert at ballet to know that Misty Copeland is the first woman of color, you know, to achieve the level that she's achieved in the area of ballet.
Yeah.
Now, I don't watch ballet, but I do know that. But if you turn off the TV and never look at anything that says anything about ballet, then you don't even know that. So balance means that I'm opening myself up to new experiences. I'm deliberately exposing myself to different things, different conversations, different areas. Like I'm a passionate martial artist. To think that you can attach purpose, well, how does purpose have anything to do with that? Because there's a purpose in me doing that as well. But through that, it's not just what I'm learning that I enjoy, but through it, it opens me up to a whole world of other kind of people, other different types of people of all different backgrounds that I get to interact with and that I get to glean from or hear from. And I put it all in my bucket of my own bucket of purpose. And I carry it around with me because you never know when you're going to need something. And the way that God is and the way that purpose works is that if you've exposed yourself to it and you've grabbed a hold of it, when you need it to speak, it'll speak for you. And for somebody out there listening, you've been limited in your experiences because of a lack of exposure. And when you need a different voice other than the voice that you been comfortable with for so long, there's nothing else to speak for you. So as we're discovering, we have to open ourselves up, sis, and me and you talk about this all the time. We have to open ourselves up to different things and different experiences because we don't know that every connection that we make, and because we talked about it earlier, every connection I make with people is something that I'm putting into my own bucket of purpose because I don't know when down the line I'll need it to speak for me. And when I need it to speak for me, I'll be able to, my mind, the big computer and wonder that our minds are, will subconsciously remember. It'll go there and pull it out and say, Michael, you know that. How do I know that?
Yeah.
You know that from then. And it'll come up to the forefront. You can be in a conversation or a networking or applying for a job and something might come up and your purpose, your mind will go in your bucket of purpose and pull out something that you didn't even realize was valuable until that moment. But lack of exposure says there's nothing to pull out. Your mind has nothing to draw from. And so if it's something ever comes up, you're empty. So balance is, I can't stress that enough. So me personally, I make an effort to expose myself to things. I'm raising my son that way. I encourage my daughter to do the same. Expose yourself mm-hmm. to every good thing that you can expose yourself to, even if it doesn't make sense to you at the moment. Turn on the jazz channel. Turn on, if you heard about Frank Sinatra, I don't know why people love Frank Sinatra. Well, have you stopped to ever listen to Frank Sinatra? You know, find out about something
yeah.
other than hip hop and R&B and Motown. I mean,
right.
if the world says these people were great musicians, just because you don't think they're great doesn't mean they're not great. You just haven't
right.
exposed yourself to another genre of music. And so you've been limited, and you think R&B is the greatest thing since sliced cheese, and it may be, but what you may not also know is that R&B person that you love might be influenced by Simon and Garfunkel. But
yeah,
you don't know. You know, so balance, I can't stress it enough that without it, we'll never achieve self-actualization in purpose in areas of our lives, and thus, you know, destiny will go stagnated because I can't, you know, it can't be fulfilled because I'm in this box.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Balance is something that, oh my goodness. It has so much weight when it comes to, at least I'm finding, it has so much weight when it comes to purpose and destiny. I believe sometimes when it comes to like what you just spoke of and us having the right exposure, we can sometimes as a people, I'll say, overall when it comes to believers, can fear the power of what we have inside of us. We're fearful that God is not God enough to keep us, or, you know, we may have, you know, this mindset that, of course, you know, the word says put no confidence in the flesh, but if I trust God to keep me, and if I keep my heart right before him, I have to trust that he'll do that, you know. And so that's why I think a lot of people don't want to listen to certain music and don't want to do certain things. Now, I could say for me, I'll get into my zone where I'm just worshiping and I don't want to hear anything
mm-hmm.
secular. But on the
mm-hmm.
same token, in the industry that I'm in, I have to be able to do that, because if it's Sunday mm-hmm. and I got a show to walk in on Sunday, I could come out of the presence of God at church and have to
yeah.
walk in a show where they're bumping Beyonce. And I got to be able
yeah.
to have balance and trust the Holy Spirit in me to keep me
mm-hmm.
and to keep my spirit
yeah.
pure regardless of what
mm-hmm.
is around me, because greater
yeah.
is he that's in me. And so when it comes to another part of balance, and I'm finding just in my particular industry, when it comes to, you know, dealing with people and their sexuality and all these different things, the industry that I'm
mm-hmm.
in as far as modeling is very, I would say, it's small in the sense that, you know, once your name is out there, you can have a reputation attached to it. Oh, she's nasty, or oh, she's nice, or she's
mm-hmm.
so sweet, or whatever,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to that, it's a small world, so to speak, when it comes
mm-hmm.
to that industry. But there are a lot of people, for instance, because this show is uncensored, there are a lot of people that are homosexual. I deal
mm-hmm.
with a lot of makeup artists and hairstylists and things like that that don't, you know, practice what I personally believe. But when it comes
mm-hmm.
to having the balance to be able to deal with people and really to embrace people, I think balance, again, is key so that we can be effective. And again, so that we can step into purpose and ultimately fulfill destiny. Because if I have to go through somebody that doesn't, you know, like the same, serve the same God that I serve, or, you know, doesn't, you know, have the same sexuality beliefs, you know, when it comes to, for lack of better terms, that I do, that I embrace, then I could miss my destiny because I'm shut down and don't have balance to realize that I'm in this world but not of this world, and I should be able to navigate through these realms trusting the one in me. So when it
exactly.
comes to that balance thing, that is huge. That's really, really huge.
Yeah.
So thanks for expounding on that and just talking about how important that is. So we're going to take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that MJ is straight, and then we'll come back, and I want to dive some more into your bio and talk some more about how purpose and destiny really do run parallel with the natural versus the spiritual, and we'll dig more into that in just a moment. So stay with
okay.
us, guys. We'll be right back.
The Smart Hour, brought to you by Fit, Focused, and Curvy, knowledge for the complete woman, an environment for women to share and grow, offering tips and testimonials on fashion, parenting, cleaning, and much more. Be sure to friend us on Facebook at Fit, Focused, Curvy, follow us on Instagram at Fit, Focused, Curvy, and check out our website at fitfocusedcurvy.com.
This is not a time to get distracted. And this is not a time to go off course. This is not a time to lose your focus. Got a word for you for the Lord. And you cannot afford to lose your way. You come too far from where you start.
Hello, and welcome back. Thank you so much for staying tuned to the Smart Hour. Again, we have Michael Harris on. This powerhouse is dropping some knowledge about purpose and destiny. Oh, my gosh. I cannot wait to play this show over and over so I can pick up what I missed. Michael, can you hear me, bro?
Yes, I'm still here.
Can you hear me okay? Okay, awesome, awesome. Yep. Okay, so we just wanted to give a quick song break to listen to Kevin LaVar there, Your Destiny. That song is so powerful, and it's really going to take us into what we're talking about now. I see here, as I mentioned, I wanted to go back into your bio with a lot of the things that I did leave out. I see that you have background in money, of course, in banking, and you're also continuing your education in communication and leadership. I'm sure there's a reason behind that, and that's what I want to dive into, because coming off of the, you know, the wings, if you will, of balance, I can see at least there is no way I can sum up what I see here on paper when it comes to your life, but it appears that there are two realms at work here running parallel to each other. I see the business, banking, and money, and then I also see you know, strategic communication and leadership as something that you're working on, and that's profound. So I know when we conversed a little before the show, you mentioned that purpose and destiny are not only spiritual, and that it's not us. You know, it's not God that has this out of perspective, but it is us. However, I see two things, if that makes sense, going on. It looks like, maybe you can correct me, going on when I look at your bio. I see a natural sense of you working as far as banking, and then you continue in your education and leadership and communication, which is key. Now, just to tell our listeners a little bit more about you, you are a minister and you are executive director of a soup chin that you founded, which I do want to talk about that. You've received numerous accolades and commendations for community involvement. You are committed to partnering with over 2,000 businesses, the community, and local government of Franklin Township to ensure their economic growth and development. Where does your passion come from to do all these things, and how does all that tie into, you know, the banking as well as what you're going on to go to school for? Is that too loaded as far as the question?
No, I think I think, again, we talked about it earlier when we talked about balance and exposure. If you only limit your purpose and your destiny to things that you can find or attach yourself to in church or in a temple or in a synagogue or to your faith, then you're really limiting the message of purpose and destiny. And in doing so, you're limiting God, because God is bigger than our perspective or what we know about our faith, you know. And so if that's what you're limiting your purpose to, then I would say to anybody that's listening, then you're seriously limiting yourself. So for me, all of the things that you see in my resume and in my bio, believe it or not, I'm trying to add more, because it all represents exposure. It all represents opportunity, and that's a key word, opportunity to discover and to walk out my purpose. So everything that you see regarding, whether it's in banking, whether it's the over 40 employees that I have, whether it's being the president of the Chamber of Commerce, the vice president of this thing over here, it all represents to me opportunity. Not only to discover my purpose, but to live it out. Because there's some things I get myself involved in that I quickly know, oh, wait a minute, I don't think there's any purpose here. But I tried it.
Yeah.
You know, but I tried it.
Yeah.
So everything that, and I'm saying to my listeners, that everything you get involved with, you're not automatically going to know. But as I said earlier, my passion, and you know this about me, is for people. And so I can pretty much know the area of my purpose by getting involved with things that I know are going to attach me to empowering people. Even in banking, you know, I say, how does that happen? Well, through banking, banking is such a vital thing to business owners nowadays. I mean, if you're listening and you're a business owner and you don't have a relationship with the person that at your bank that where you're depositing money, then I would say switch banks. If they don't know your name, if they don't know your children's name, if they don't know who you are, then they have no investment in your purpose and your destiny. And so banking represents an opportunity to connect myself with other dreams. because everybody I talk to that's in business, everybody that I talk to that owns a business, that has a small business, I got clients and relationships and people that I know that are anywhere from the mom-and-pop restaurant all the way up to multi-million-dollar businesses. But everybody, sister, has a story. Everybody has a start. Everybody has somewhere that they started, a passion that they've connected themselves to. And the difference between millionaires and regular people is that they just didn't stop. They followed and pursued their passion till it produced a destiny that they envisioned for themselves. So me attaching myself in all of these areas, one of the areas I'm getting paid for, literally a paycheck every 2 weeks. The other areas are just tools, as I talked about, that I'm putting in my bag that are going to help me ultimately be a CEO one day. And I don't want to be a CEO just to make millions of dollars and buy bigger houses and more cars. But ultimately what I see for my life is positioning myself to be in a position to help and empower people even more. Because the more influence you have, the more resources you're connected with, the more people you know, only creates opportunity for you to help more people. And so I'm in the people helping business. I'm in the people empowering business. So everything that you see on my resume doesn't represent me just checking off things to put on a resume to have a whole bunch of letters behind my name or things to say good about myself. But every one of those things is specific to a purpose, specific to a destiny. Listen to this, that I expect to come from it. I expect to do something in my life that's going to help me help somebody else. So all of that stuff represents that, whether it's vocationally in something I'm getting paid for or something I'm volunteering for. I look at it like this. I'm getting paid doing it all because all of it is adding value to my life. And the more value I add to my life, the more that I have to give away to my son when he grows up and looks me in the eye. I ain't just going to be like, son, I just worked a job for 50 years, and all I know is this, kind of like our forefathers. All I know is working the railroad and providing. I want to be able to tell my son, I know some Chinese folks. I know some Indian folks. I know some African folks. I've been exposed to Hinduism, Judaism, Islam, Jainism. Son, I know folks in any genre that you can connect with. I know homosexual folks. I know some lesbian folks. I know all of these people, son. I've got connections in all of these. I've exposed myself to things and all, not in a bad way. It doesn't mean I tried it all, but I've exposed myself to some things. And son, daughter, my daughter Destiny, I'm giving this to you. I'm bequeathing this information to you to empower you in your life. So when they draw from their dad is an unlimited gallimaufry or a plethora of information that's an unexhaustible source of information that I can give away to help empower them and somebody else. And that's what it's all for, so that as you're talking to me or if any of your callers connect with me, and like you and I connect, that you know when you're talking to your brother, I love church, love God. I'm a minister. As you said, I'm a pastor. I pastor the church. But there's so much more to me than the blood of Jesus Christ and what it has done for my life. Yeah, that's my spiritual testimony. But bigger than that is how I connect that to everything else that I do in life. And so that's what you see in my bio. It's not just a bunch of fancy things for people to say about me. It is what I live. And it is what I try to practice on an everyday basis. And I'm going to add things to it till it becomes a small book that somebody can't read when they're introducing me.
Okay. Well, you are certainly working on that, because I'm telling you, that bio, I was like, okay, let me shorten this up. And I'm sure you know your bio, so you know what I've summed up and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And thanks for going back.
I was listening like, oh, she forgot a few things.
Yes, superstar. I knew that I left those things out. I left them out. purposely so that we could revisit them and that you would be able to expound on them for our listeners. Because if I'm giving the bio, you know, I'm giving what you've exposed to me. But when you get a chance to talk about it, we get to hear your voice behind it and your passion. And thanks for that, because I was actually going to go back to that and correct myself when I said minister. You are an ordained minister and pastor, and I think it's huge and it's paramount that I mention that, because I just do, because people need to know on both spectrums, you know, when it comes to the business sense, that there are people in the body of Christ that have balance and that understand, you know, okay, this, I don't want to say this is not that, but I know where God is in my life. I know his place in my life. And if I have to, me personally, I pull God into all of my decisions. I try to. I try to acknowledge him in every way so that he can direct my path. And that means in business too. You know, show me, God, if this is what you want me to do. Because ultimately, if it falls flat, I'm coming right back to you and going to be on my face. Oh, God, fix it. But if I ask him in the beginning, you know, is this what I'm supposed to be doing or not, then I don't run into a self-inflicted storm. But I think it's important, as I said, I think it's important that our listeners know that you are a man of the cloth, because people get this bad, I've said this before, and I know people have probably heard it before, that God is a great God. He just has the worst PR people sometimes when it comes to us being out as representatives of Christ and representatives of God. People get the wrong perspective, because we are human and we try to over-spiritualize things, or really just don't have, going back to that word balance, don't have the balance that we need to have in order for people to see God correctly. And even see us and our gifts and the purpose and the destiny and all of that, and how it all unfolds. And you don't have to feel that you have to be in church 5 times a week in order to fulfill purpose and destiny, because that purpose and destiny is what God, like you said at the top of the call or at the top of the show, it's what God already had in mind before we even got here. And so... Oh my gosh, this has been so good. So if people want to it's been good, and we will have to do another part.
We're definitely gonna have to do a part two. definitely.
So we can dig into some deeper stuff.
Stop playing. Put me on the calendar. Stop playing.
Okay, now that I see that I didn't stand or my parents to get you on the show, because, you know, this has been a long time coming. I'm like, Lord, is it going to happen? And I did to be like, you're going to be on. So I had to go to my prayer closet on you, like, Lord, don't let them back out, Jesus. So, I mean, we'll definitely have to get you back on the Smart Hour and drain some, or, you know, pull, I should say, from what you have in your belly, because it's so much. And I just know, just from a personal level and all of the years that we've known each other, know a measure of what's in you. But even looking at your bio, I'm like, my mind opened up some more. I'm like, my brother's all that. Let me get him on here again so we can talk about some more stuff. So listen, if people want to reach you, like if they want to get in contact with you for anything, let's make sure that you get that out to them. How do people reach you if they want to reach you?
Best way to reach me is via email. And, and I guess you can post it, but I can say it out now if you're writing. My email is doc, D as in David, O, C, Harris, my last name, H-A-R-R-I-S, followed by the numbers 052571@yahoo.com. So all together, that's docharris052571@yahoo.com. And the best way to reach me is email. I answer my emails directly. They come directly to my smartphone, and that's the best way.
Okay, awesome. So if people want to get some more on this purpose and destiny, and you know, even when it comes to people that are in New Jersey, if they need any help or just maybe some insight as far as what you're doing in banking or even with speaking or whatever, that is the way that you would get in contact with Michael Harris. So before we end this show on the Smart Hour, is there anything that you want to say that you didn't say? Just because I know that when it comes to you know, the conversation that we had tonight, there are things specifically that I wanted to pull from you. I still want to go back to that pyramid so bad because it's just so much in that. So that's why we definitely got to have another show because I want to dig deeper into that. Oh, my goodness. It just can't be centered around purpose and destiny. There's so much the safety and security and where we are today in our world. And, you know, the conversations we have is like, oh, I want to go there and just tear it all up, you know, and open all of that up for our listeners. But is there something else that you wanted to share in regards to purpose and destiny, since this is your passion and it is, you know, something that you're very, I don't know, astute to pouring into people in this arena? Is there something that I missed or just something that you want to leave with our listeners?
Well, I would leave all of your listeners with this. With regards to purpose and destiny, that it's never too late to start, never too late to start and restart. And I've restarted so many times in my life that I make my own self sick. But I know that I'm blessed. I know that I'm have God's favor because I don't give up. And you can't be afraid to restart. You can't be afraid to fail because on this path of discovery, you will fail. You will make bad decisions. You will not get it right. But I encourage everyone listening, get back up, dust yourself off. If going like I should have finished school actually years ago, but it had always been a goal, and I gotten to a place in my career where I realized that, you know, if I really want my purpose to speak in and to achieve what I want to in my career, I'm going to have to take my behind back to school. And so for those listening that have had goals that you sat on the shelf and you found a way to procrastinate or to say it's not important enough, go back and get that stuff off the shelf. Restart. Doesn't matter how old you are, where you are, how many kids you have, it doesn't matter. You can change your life and change your destiny starting today. And that's what I want to encourage everyone. It's never too late to start or restart. Keep going. Keep going until you get what you came for.
That is good. That's good. Now, I have a question to ask, and I know we're at the end of the show, but I still want to ask this. So how you talked about restarting. How does a person know when it's time to restart or when it's time to give up on a thing, if you will? I hate to use the term give up, but
when that thing in your life isn't reproducing, if it isn't reproducing, then it's time to do something else. You've been at that job. I like real examples. You've been at that job 10 years and you still don't see a path to make the kind of money that you want, then it's time to look at something else. I got into banking really humble, and I started as a teller, you know, all the way at the bottom. And I found, and in doing so, I didn't know I was going to get into banking. I used to be in retail. I used to be a store manager and just stumbled into banking when I came to Pittsburgh and didn't know, but then I found purpose in stumbling in. So sometimes you realize, hey, this is not producing anything for me. It may not be completely negative, but it's not producing the results that you want. That's a telltale sign that I probably need to look at something else. And it's not failing, it's not giving up, but you're just restarting. You're restarting somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
That simple.
That is so good. Well, oh my gosh, thank you so much for coming on to the Smart Hour and vibing here with your sister and my listeners. You know I appreciate it, and we'll definitely get you back on the show again so we can talk about some more stuff. Thank you so much. Thank you.
God bless you. Love you all. Take care.
Thank you. All right, listeners, thank you so much for listening and tuning in to the Smart Hour. I see you. Thank you so much. And thanks for welcoming my brother, Michael Harris, on tonight. Until next time, Thanks for tuning in.
You have been listening to the Smart Hour with Tanisha Smart. Real voices, real issues, and real solutions. Be sure to find and follow us on Instagram at The Smart Hour. Like us on Facebook at The Smart Hour. And tune in right here next week for more. You won't want to miss the time The Smart Hour will add to your life.
Yeah.